Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Thessalonians. The book of Thessalonians. If you're visiting with us this afternoon and you're not that familiar with the Bible has two main parts, the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament, the time of the history of Israel all the way up to Jesus Christ. And then the second half of the Bible, or the second section, is the New Testament, where Jesus Christ is born, goes through his life, and then it gives the history of the church in the book of Acts. And then we have these books called the epistles. They're stories, or letters rather, that are written to individual churches. And we're going to be studying one of these particular epistles. This is to a church in Thessalonica. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 18 particularly, but we're going to read the first 18 verses together to give a little context. So page 1257 in the Pew Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now considering the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we encourage you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. And this is our text. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know how many of you get World Magazine, but there was an article last month about the country of Afghanistan. And that article explains a little bit of what's going on in Afghanistan right now, and perhaps some of you are familiar with the difficulties that they've had over the last few years. It's been a very troubled place. And right now the U.S. is withdrawing troops from there, and there's a lot of concern of what's going to happen in the future. Already there's a lot of chaos, and they're wondering if it's going to get even more chaotic, if they're going to lose control of the situation. But this particular article speaks of how Christians have dealt with the situation there. And this article says that there are three types of Afghani Christians. The first type are those who have been forced to leave the country. The second are those who survive by exercising their faith underground. And the third are those who are dead. And brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, standing for Jesus Christ means a life of difficulty and persecution. And we know as we look at the world that we live in right now, that there's a lot of places like that. We have a Syrian family in our church that has come over, and to hear their stories is truly amazing, of the things that they have lived through as Syrian Christians. We know that this is nothing new, brothers and sisters. Christians have always suffered for their faith. We know that there is always a cost to following Jesus Christ. And our passage here in 1 Thessalonians says very clearly that in all circumstances, the Christian is to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're just to paint a smile on our faces, brothers and sisters, when things get tough. That we simply pretend that everything's okay. That we deny the reality that we're living in. It also doesn't mean that we are somehow out of step with God, that He's punishing us for our sins, that the church is somehow doing something wrong. Some people believe that. But what it does mean is that as a Christian, you can expect difficulties and trials to be a part of your life. And in those times, God is calling you to have and to live a life of heartfelt gratitude. And over the last years, all of us have, over the last year and a half, all of us have experienced things with COVID that have not been easy. You talk to pastors and they're dealing with many people who are anxious and concerned. We've had a lot of talk of sickness and death, haven't we? We've had restrictions placed on us that oftentimes have been very uncomfortable. But brothers and sisters, we believe in a sovereign God. We know that God allows us to go through things that are uncomfortable for us. So how does God want us to respond to this trial that He has sent us? And I think our passage this afternoon speaks to this very clearly. It's important to understand the historical context of the Church of Thessalonica. They were going through some very, very tough times themselves, and the Apostle Paul had warned them about these times that they were going to come. We can say that really this is part of the job description of any pastor, Pastor Bryce. That's part of his job, to explain to you that, yes, difficulties will come for each one of us. And the Apostle Paul had said to the church in Thessalonica, look, at these times are coming, be prepared for them. Yet even though this was the case, throughout this final section, Paul's been encouraging the church to remain faithful. Because they were facing internal problems, they were facing those who were dividing the church from the inside, and they were facing those external attacks by those opposed to the gospel. There were those who were calling the Apostle Paul a fraud. There were those who were saying that all of these things that he was saying were not true. But Paul explains to the church and he explains to us that these attacks are nothing new. And it's in this context that we have these three verses, this threefold command, to always be joyful, to pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks. And as we consider these verses together, we're going to see this. What does Christian thankfulness look like? And how are prayer and joy an essential part of our thanks to God? This afternoon, if you're visiting with us, I don't know all of you, perhaps there are those who are visiting that are not Christians. Perhaps there are those who are listening online and you're thinking to yourself, well, if you're talking about thankfulness, Christians don't have a corner on this particular character trait. If you were to go to a non-Christian's house on Thanksgiving Day, you would no doubt see a turkey on their table. You would see people gathered together, even an atheist or an agnostic. they might be gathered together expressing gratitude for the good things in their life. Maybe they would express it this way. They would say that they're thankful for the good fortune of having a job, for their family and friends, for their good health perhaps. Now, this thankfulness isn't perhaps expressed to anyone in particular. It's just a feeling of well-being that they have. They perhaps see it as a bit of good luck. Now, that is a type of thankfulness. It's true. But if you're a Christian this afternoon, Christian thankfulness is to look very differently. We give thanks to a God. We give thanks to someone who we know and we love personally. We give thanks to a person who has reached out with his saving grace. Psalm 34 says, "We have tasted and seen that the Lord, that He is good." This is what we understand, right? We serve an awesome God. We serve a living God. We serve and pray to a God that actually hears us. We're not just speaking to the inside of this tent when we pray our congregational prayer. We're speaking to a God who knows us and loves us. Verse 18 says that we are to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. But it says, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And those three last words are very important. Our thankfulness is grounded in that fundamental truth, brothers and sisters, that because of Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, that He has redeemed us out of sin and death. He's brought us out of the darkness and brought us into the light. We don't need to live in despair any longer because He has paid the price for our sins. He has given us new life in Him. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And brothers and sisters, those just aren't words that we read and we recite when somebody passes away. They're beautiful words. But those are words that we believe in life and in death. So we need to understand, first of all, that thankfulness is impossible without a right relationship with God. True thankfulness. Biblical thankfulness. It's not a feeling that we can come up with on our own. It's probably the opposite. Humanly speaking, we tend to complain. We're discontented. We naturally aren't thankful people, are we? But it's only when we understand our need for the Lord, when we see our own sinfulness and we turn to Him in repentance and faith and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ's blood. When we have that close relationship with the Lord, when we begin to give thanks to Him. Let me ask you this afternoon, is that true of you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand the depth of your own sin? Have you turned to Him in repentance and faith? Do you know what it means to be in relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, you never will be thankful. You never will understand what the Apostle Paul is here saying. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having firmly been rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." The idea here, brothers and sisters, is of a little tree being planted, that tree that has very fragile roots. And that's how we are when we begin with the Lord Jesus, isn't it? We begin very fragilely, we begin very weakly. But as we grow up in Him, we come to know Him. It's a beautiful thing as we learn to walk in Him day after day. As we begin to put our roots down and we begin to grow stronger in our faith. As we begin to overflow with this kind of gratitude. That's what the Lord Jesus desires to see in the church. And that's what He desires to see in each one of us. And this, brothers and sisters, is why the Apostle Paul mentions here unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer. And you might ask the question, well, what does he mean by unceasing prayer? Well, I don't think it's complicated, but I think it's difficult. What do I mean? Well, this unceasing prayer is a relationship that we have with the Lord. And in order for our relationship with the Lord to be strong, constant communication is necessary. Now, if I were to ask the children present here this afternoon a definition, what a definition of prayer would be, you would be able to tell me, well, prayer is simply talking with God, expressing ourselves to Him. That's true, isn't it? It's a good definition. What Paul here is saying is, he's saying, look it, there should be a constant prayer going up from us. Prayer should be happening all the time. That is to say, when we've been blessed, we need to go to the Lord. When we have a need, we need to seek His face. This is something that sometimes as Reformed believers, we don't always think about. Sometimes, and I pray this is the case with you, you have times of planned prayer. Perhaps before you eat a meal together as a family, you read together, you sing a song perhaps, and after the meal you might have a special time of prayer, of reading again. Those are very important times. All of us need to plan times of prayer with our families. We need to have planned times for ourselves when we go to the Lord. But this unceasing prayer, I think, includes this. But I think it means that we are to be constantly bringing things to the Lord. When I was a student, I had opportunity to do an internship with some missionaries in central Mexico, and I had a great opportunity to see this in practice. This couple's name were Richard and Anita Dye. They were longtime missionaries in the city of Querétaro. It was interesting for me to just observe their life. Everything they did, they bathed in prayer. When they needed to make a decision, they would simply bow their heads. They'd say, we're going to stop everything right now. We're just going to bow right now and just ask the Lord for direction. When they had a special need in their congregation, and it seemed like always important prayer requests were coming to them. I remember Mrs. Dye being on the phone with one person back in the day when we actually used phones. She would be on the phone with one person speaking and praying with that person. And then she would receive a call from someone else, and someone else would be asking for prayer. And sometimes on the mission field, we tend to be we're more aware of our own need and our own need of this constant communication. When you read missionary stories time and time again, you will see this kind of prayer life that they have. I don't know if many of you here this afternoon know the name George Mueller. But he lived in the 1800s, and really recommend to you that you read something of his life. Children, if you haven't read anything about him, look him up on the internet. Very interesting. He was a man who believed in the power of prayer. That when we call out to God, He will respond. And this man had tremendous needs. Oftentimes they didn't have enough food for the orphans. Oftentimes they were going to him, praying particularly, and God would answer in miraculous ways. This is something that we need to learn as a church. We know that without prayer we are weak, that without prayer we are cut off from God. And it's interesting that even though God knows exactly what we need, more than we do, He wants to hear us call out to Him. Have you ever thought about that? God knows exactly what every one of our needs are here this afternoon. Every particular thing, every particular worry, every particular ailment that you might have, He knows more than you do. Yet He still wants us to pray to Him. And brothers and sisters, we may ask the question, well, why is that? And the answer to that is simply this. Because God wants to see that we rely on Him. Because prayer is so necessary, especially during time of trial and difficulty. And as I've already said, and as we've seen in our passage, trials in the Christian life are something that we need to expect in our lives. It's not the exception, it's the norm. And even though we don't like it at times, even though trials aren't what we would choose for ourselves, we know that this is good for our faith. And you may ask the question, why is it necessary for believers to suffer? And the answer is that it is at those times we are forced to truly walk by faith. You see, brothers and sisters, oftentimes we want to have our lives completely under control, don't we? We want to know exactly where our next meal is coming from. We don't like to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We want to know the house that we're going to live in and how it's going to be paid off. We don't like it when Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. It doesn't make sense to us. We like to have strong and healthy bodies, don't we? We don't like what the New Testament says to us, that when we are weak, we are strong. We can say that we like having all of our ducks in a row. We like to have our lives together. We don't like any detail to be out of place. But that's not just life, is it? That's not the way life is. And when the storms of life come and beat on your house, the question is, on whom is the foundation of your life built? When your props get taken away, that is when you begin to see where your trust truly is. Can we still give thanks to the Lord then? Can we receive the plate of difficulty and suffering that God has served us and still say thank you to Him? Can we trust in the Lord in those times, knowing that He is working all things to our good? And incidentally, brothers and sisters, sometimes when we use that verse, we oftentimes want to see the immediate result, don't we? We want to know how God is working good in the situation that we're in right now or soon after, don't we? Let me tell you this, oftentimes we'll never have the answer. We're never going to fully understand what God is doing. And that's where faith comes in. One author put it this way, he said, if you don't suffer trials and let it drive you to Christ, you will never be able to handle trouble. The ironic thing is that if God were able to keep you completely safe from trouble, you would be shallow, you would be breakable, and you would be entitled. And this is why the Apostle Paul says to the church to give thanks in all circumstances, because it truly is God's will for us. Because when we go through those hard things, we know that God does have a purpose for them, and that is to cause our faith to grow strong. Maybe you've heard the example that faith is like a muscle. And maybe kids, you've seen a person that has broken their arm or broken their leg, and that leg or arm is put in a cast, and when they take that cast off, that arm or leg looks really, really thin. Why is that? Well, it's because those muscles aren't working, right? Those muscles haven't had to work for a long time, and they grow weak and feeble. And so it is with our faith. When our faith is worked, when we are caused to trust in the Lord, that is when we are strengthened. And brothers and sisters, that means we have to come to the point in our life where we're willing to say to the Lord, Lord, you know what you are doing. I'm going to thank you for those things that you're doing in my life, even the things that I don't understand. I'm going to trust in you to take care of the details and let you work. And brothers and sisters, right now as I've talked with missionaries and with pastors around the world, even with what is happening with COVID right now, it's amazing to hear the stories of those who have lost loved ones. I recently talked to someone and they told me that 70 pastors in the National Presbyterian Church have passed away since COVID began because specifically of COVID. I have a friend in India who has told me that many of the pastors there have gone into places where COVID has been hitting very hard. And many of them have gone into homes where people are sick and they've contracted COVID. And many of them have passed away. But brothers and sisters, these men have, and pastors have, been faithful to the calling that they have been given. And we might ask ourselves the question, well, Lord, what are you doing in this? Why would you allow these men to die? We don't know fully why that is. And brothers and sisters, there are many things in the Christian church that we don't fully understand. But brothers and sisters, this is when we're called to simply trust. To trust that we serve a sovereign God. To trust that God does know what He is doing and that He is working through all of these things for our good. I had just recently very dear friend of mine, a man that served with me for 15 years in Mexico. He got the news that he had cancer, serious cancer. He was not able to receive treatment for his cancer because of it, because of COVID. And he said to me, I had a chance to visit with him in March, and he said to me, Rich, he said, I am so thankful for the life that I have been given. He said, I'm not going to have opportunity to see my daughter graduate from university. He's only 57. But he said to me, Rich, I'm so thankful for the way the Lord has led me, for the way the Lord has worked, and for the disease that He has even given me now. And that's the kind of response that the Lord desires to see in each one of us. That we can trust in Him even when we get that bad news, even when we have that difficult thing, even when that person that we love so much gets taken away. And brothers and sisters, that's the life of thankfulness that Paul's talking about here. And you know what this kind of thankfulness, this kind of prayer-filled life produces? It produces joy. True, lasting joy. When we have this kind of communication with God, when we have this kind of trust in Him, and again, it's not to say that it's going to all be smooth sailing, that there won't be tears, there won't be worries, there won't be concerns in our life. There will be. But God will bring us through those times more mature. This is why we need older people in the church today, brothers and sisters. When you read Titus and you read the epistles of how the older are to teach the younger, this is something that is so important and so beautiful. And I'd encourage you here to sit down with mature saints, those who have walked with the Lord for many years, and ask them how the Lord has worked in their life. Through the tough times, through the valleys, through the times when they didn't understand exactly what God was doing. And it's amazing to hear their stories. It's amazing to hear how God is faithful and God brings them through. Romans 12, verse 12 says, "Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." And as we close, let me ask you this question. Is this a description of you today? Is it? Of your life? And maybe you've come to this service this afternoon and you haven't felt this way at all. Maybe it's exactly the opposite. And maybe that's because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Him. And maybe God is using the trials in your life to drive you to Him. Scripture tells us that today is the day of salvation. And if this is true of you, don't walk out of here today without confessing your sins to the Lord. And if you're listening online, remember that Jesus Christ calls out to sinners like you and like me to bend the knee to Him to confess our sins, and that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But maybe you are a Christian this afternoon. Maybe you've walked with the Lord for many years and you've simply grown discouraged in your Christian walk. Maybe you're feeling anxious about what's going on right now in the world. There's a lot of things that are concerning right now for all of us. But maybe your prayer life has grown cold. Maybe you lack an intimacy with God. Maybe you're focusing on what you don't have instead of all that you have received in Jesus Christ. If that is the case, let me encourage you this afternoon to cry out to Jesus once again. He knows us. He knows our weakness. He knows intimately every detail of our life, and He knows what we're going through, even in our anxious times. Remember that you are a child of God. I want to close with just a few words from 1 Peter 1, familiar words, and I think it summarizes exactly what we've seen very well this afternoon. Peter says, "In all of this, you greatly rejoice." And Peter was writing to a church that was undergoing great persecution. He says, "In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Let's close in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for these encouraging words. Lord, we thank You that even though Your church goes through trials and difficulties, Lord, we are called to be thankful even in those times, even through the tears. And Lord, we thank You that You are a God who is over all, that is sovereign. And Lord, as we look around the world today, as we look at the troubling things that are even happening in our own country, Lord, we thank you that we can rest in that fact. And Lord, quiet our hearts, calm our fears, help us to look to you again. Lord, remember, help us to remember that all that we have been given in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, and to rejoice in that. Help us to be men and women of prayer, boys and girls, young people, those that are constantly bringing our needs to you, constantly rejoicing in what you are doing. Help us to pray unceasingly. And in all that we say and do, Lord, we pray that this thankfulness would shine through. Lord, this inexpressible joy would not just be a theory, but would be a reality in our lives. Lord, we thank you and praise you for these things. And we ask it all in Jesus' name.